Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. Welcome to the Sunday morning brunch. We got 90 minutes to get into a lot of stuff from this weekend. A heck of a Saturday. And oh yes, week four is amongst us here in the NFL season. The NHL preseason's kicking off. The NBA preseason's kicking off. The top of October, the second bird month of the fall. Let's go. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
Welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you, people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark the Moses and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Man, I don't know what to say or what to do, man. I'm a little, like, I'm 50-50 right now. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm 50-50. I don't know whether to be happy or mad, because I'm mad because of how I went down. I'm going to just admit it right now. I didn't do good yesterday with my picks, especially my doubles, but also, I'm happy that my boys did work down there in Georgia, and I don't really want to get too hung up on them because I'm chilling, because I know karma is chilling around my crib somewhere for the Saturday matchup. And oh yes, I just got word this morning that game will be a primetime game, 8 p.m. ABC. Got us. So I'm trying to get down there. I don't think I'll get down there. I had a big time engagement to meet some big names down there from Kane Majesty. I call it Kane Majesty. I feel like I'm home. But listen, nevertheless, let me get there, man. Like I said, I had to get my 50-50. I had to get my balance. I'm feeling pitiful about how I went and how everything went down, but I'm trying to restore everything right now. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, you got Tommy Beard in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good. And Ty, you forgot something. The end of the baseball season ends today. And postseason wild card anyway starts Tuesday. You gotta add that too.
No. Listen, this is all the bird month. Everything happens in the bird month. If you need your fixing or your fill, whatever you need on the plate for the brunch, it's here. It's here. We got everything on slate here at the brunch. We will be dipping into some baseball as well. Matter of fact, we will start off the top of the show with some baseball and then get into everything from yesterday. From the Saturday games, and also, our picks for today for week four in the NFL. So we'll start right there because I know Tommy had a dish that he wanted to allude to first that I definitely want to get my fork in there as well. We'll start right there with the dish out there around the diamond.
Yeah, today at 3:05, 3:15, up in Ty's area, a little north, David Ortiz will play his last regular season game in Fenway Park. To me, I mean, I've watched this guy play most of his career. Didn't really know who he was in Minnesota. He came along more when he was in Boston, especially when he made his real big name when he got Poppy and the run. I personally, as a baseball fan, thank you, David, for everything you've done. Now, if any team besides my Nationals can't win the World Series, I hope it's you to go out as a champion. I really would. If my Nationals can't win it, I'd like to see David go out as a champion. Of course, I know a lot of people down in this area don't like that because most of them are all Oriole fans. But if you're a baseball fan, baseball guy like I am, how else better would you like to see but David Ortiz go out as a champion?
Now, this is an interesting, position that you hold that, you know, if the Nationals don't get it done, Boston is to get it done. Because there are a lot of teams that have done their work to get until this point. And also how the wild card, positioning is panning out as well. Now, looking at the two teams that are kind of coincided with each other, with the Cubs and the Red Sox, because the Red Sox, you know, Theo Epstein left the organization and went to the Cubs. The Cubs are looking like one of the strongest teams in the postseason, heading toward the postseason. And it would be epic to see these two go at it, which these two had the quote-unquote longest curses going on. But I'm partial to David Ortiz, a.k.a. Big Poppy. My organization picked him up, of course. Everybody knows the story. They sent him to Boston, and, well, the rest of his career carried on as best as it possibly could. And he was actually one of the, if not, I could say the biggest piece or one of the, I would say one of the instrumental pieces to help break that curse back in 2004. Him, Manny Ramirez, Pedro, I mean, the list goes on and on. Everybody knows how they had to come back and make that thing happen up against the Yankees. And what else or other way would they want it to happen but to go up against their rival where a lot of people thought they would continually be under the thumb of the Yankees. But he got it done up against Mariano and company, and the rest is history. Ended up bringing a couple of championships back to the city of Boston. And I'm getting chills as I'm thinking of one of the situations right now, thinking of how they had the Boston bombing just a year or two ago. And he was the first one to grab the mic and start speaking and saying, you know what, like, this is our city. And he actually cursed while he was, you know, representing the city of Boston and speaking to the Boston Red Sox, things of that nature. Knowing that he is a part of that city right now, this is huge, but he still plays a little baseball right now. Depending on how things go for the Red Sox, they are one of the stronger teams heading toward the postseason. And not for nothing, his name is atop the list. It's not even like he's in the midst of it. These are, you know, defenses and pitchers that are throwing the ball across the plate. They are going to be concerned about how they can, you know, get Poppy out of that hole in that left-handed box, if you will. So this is going to be interesting to see how things go down for Boston, but definitely his regular season career comes to an end this week right here, and we start right here and heading toward the postseason in October.
Do you think he's a Hall of Famer? Because I do.
It's interesting because a lot of people are saying DHs don't make it, and I don't know why they like hold that against players. If they're able, if they're out there making things happen for their team, then yes, I not to just say my personal assessment, because of course I think so, because like I said, he was one of the instrumental pieces to help Boston get over the hump and finally get their championship there after, what, 86 years. So I'm saying yes, of course, but it depends on the writers, because those are the voters, the writers, and who wants to put him in Cooperstown. That is the big piece of the puzzle. But, of course, this is how I view it. So, yes, I think so.
I can actually throw another a DH out that should be in the Hall of Fame, too. And that's Edgar Martinez from Seattle.
Yeah, but Edgar had to wait for so long, so we'll see how that ends up panning out. Like I said, they hold that against people at the end of the day, and I don't know why that continually ends up being a situation for a lot of these players, especially at the hole that they're given to provide for the team. They're playing a role. If they're instrumental enough to get wins or have a decent batting average or fill up the stat sheet or be a monumental figure for that that team that they're representing, I don't know why they would hold that against them, let alone if they're just up there at bat hacking. But here's another thing about it. You know, his name was brought up in that report, so I want to see how much truth is behind that toward Ortiz, if that continues to hold him out, heading, you know, moving forward into his pasture outside of baseball once he's done. So I hope they don't hold that against him, because there are a lot of names that are part of people that abused you know, drugs, steroids, HGH, things of that nature, and aren't in the Hall of Fame. And I think a ton of them should be there, but they're holding it against them because of what they did in their past or in their career, however you want to manage to put that situation down.
I know, okay. I'll be watching this, but I'll check in on that. But I'm definitely watching David's last game, last regular season game.
Okay, we do have Matt in the building. Matt, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Feeling a little rough,
all right.
Not going to lie.
What'd
a little
you say?
Rough. Clemson, I'm feeling a little rough, first day hangover, but Clemson, at least I didn't go over for the day. That Tennessee was brutal. I don't know why they didn't kick the extra point. Can you guys explain that to me? Because I'm still kind of in shock over that one.
The Tennessee game?
Yeah, why did Tommy definitely knows. I know Tommy knows. Why didn't they kick the extra point? Because the team just wanted to get off the field? Or, I mean, how does that work? Is there a certain rule?
At the end of a game, when it's over like that, you don't kick it, unless that would have been the tying score. If it's not the tying score, then the extra point's not necessary. They don't kick it.
Yeah, it was a – wow. I had 3.5 on that. But, hey, life goes on. Clemson, at least I got one win is all I can say about yesterday.
Okay, we will get into the games, if you will. Anything that you'd like to say towards David Ortiz, this being his last regular season game coming up soon, and him and the Red Sox heading toward the postseason?
Big Poppy's one of the best. I think he passed Mickey Mantle this year. The Red Sox, I think, are going to make a run. They're my pick for the American League to win. They may take the whole thing, and it may be David Ortiz's swan song, very similar to how Peyton Manning went out. He might go out on top, in my opinion. He's one of the best hitters of all time.
Does he make the Hall of Fame, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely, 100%, without a doubt. Probably his first ballot, for sure.
Does he go as a position player or as a designated hitter?
I don't know any plays that I can think of he's made in the field. I want to say a DH.
Yeah, because he is a DH. He's played first and third a couple times, but not like like they would look at him as a DH. So this would be interesting to see if they do get him in there. But Bobby, thank you for everything, and also thanks to the Twins for drafting this dude and sending him to Boston. I do give my boys that credit for picking them up out of the farm system, no less. They got the best farm system, but they feed the rest of the major leagues. That's what they do. Let me get off of these dudes, because they were terrible this year. Paulie, yeah, Molitor, yeah, you better get it together. Okay, as of how things went down on Saturday with the college football atmosphere, how things went down, I will let Matt get into the Saturday standings on how we look and how these games went down as well.
All right, fellas, give me 1 second. But I know that, as usual, I get beat up. Let me see what we got here. I got it right here. All right. Do we have Nacho in the building, or is he not in?
He was here, but once we started talking baseball, he left. So hopefully he's back in the kitchen.
Okay. Well, I'm going to – I'm sorry, you got to forgive me. Give me a one, get out of jail free card because of all the boozing and stuff. I'm a little bit behind on everything, but it looks like I'm going over here seeing how you and Tommy did, because I know I did bad. I did horrific. Who won the Oregon game?
Washington State.
Yeah,
they
so
beat
Tommy. Yes.
Me and Ty got that one. Okay, I will, guys, you got to forgive me. I'm running behind on that, but I'm going to go through that, and I want to talk about some college football games maybe for about 10 minutes, then I think we go right into the picks. If y'all want to do the NFL picks, we'll get those out of the way. What did y'all think of the Clemson-Louisville game? What are your thoughts? I thought it was an amazing game. Clemson got lucky to hold on. I think if there was about 30 more seconds, then Louisville would have probably been able to figure out a way to convert. It came all the way down to the wire. That Jackson guy is for real, by the way. Whoever compared him to Michael Vick was very accurate. What did you think, Ty? You were on Louisville, but both sides were close.
I don't think you're being fair comparing him to Michael Vick. I think he's better than Michael Vick. Michael Vick compared to Lamar Jackson, listen, Michael Vick wasn't accurate. Michael Vick had a cannon, but Michael Vick didn't complete a lot of passes. Lamar Jackson has a cannon, and he completes these passes. And plus, I don't think I can ever remember Michael Vick being responsible for up to, what, 28, 29, 30 touchdowns at this point in, what, week five. Like he's doing work in the ACC right now. Now, not to say, like, I'm throwing a whole bunch of shade at Michael Vick and saying that that's a bad thing to do, but Lamar Jackson in his sophomore year right now, he took his first loss this season. Even if he ends up coming back for the next two seasons, this is his sophomore season, people. He's playing like he's a damn junior or a senior. This dude is off the charts. And the good thing about Clemson in the game yesterday, they were sending a three-way attack at him just to keep him in the confines of that defense. So Clemson's game plan early worked. He finally started to break the runs after halftime. And it was like the Jackson show finally showed up. How I feel about the game, like I knew this would be a shootout. I knew this would be one of those get your popcorn ready type of games. But this is what I am frustrated about. You mean to tell me on a 4th-and-10 play, he hits the receiver in the flat and he's by himself, but there's a guy, in route to try and make the play or push him out of bounds. He doesn't even fight for the first down or cut back to get toward the first down marker. He runs out of bounds and looks at the ref like he's at the first down marker. That's extremely frustrating for me.
Was that the last drive?
The last play of the last drive for Louisville. But nevertheless, I definitely got to tip my hat to Clemson because they did the job to shut the door on Louisville after Louisville stormed all the way back. Louisville was down, what, 3 possessions, left Clemson scoreless in the third, scored a total of, what, 16 points in that third quarter, and it was like Lamar finally got his legs underneath him. Like I said, I think Clemson did just enough to shut the door on Louisville. Epic game. Deshaun Watson has now put his name back into the discussion of Heisman talk as well. So Deshaun Watson,
absolutely, very good point, Ty.
With everything that he was going through before the situation, having a slow start with Clemson, I give Watson a ton of credit in actually taking this as a challenge as Lamar Jackson walked into Death Valley.
That's exactly right. I like your point about Watson. Tommy, give us your thoughts.
Well, of course, Ty hits my key of the game. Of course he does. The final play for Louisville, quick, the wide receiver. I don't understand some of these receivers. They go, instead of trying to cut or do something to get more yardage. It's like these kids anymore. I've even seen it in high school. It aggravates the hell out of me. They run straight to the sidelines and everything like they're scared to get hit. All he had to do was stop a little bit because the defender's momentum would have took him right by.
Mm-hmm.
All he had to do was stop a little bit, cut it up. He's got a first down, if not a touchdown. Louisville wins this. That's all he's got to do. All he's got, I mean, with the way the momentum was taking that defensive player, all he had to do was stop a little bit. The defense guy would have went by. He at least got the first down. He might have scored because there were two more defenders for Clemson there. But, I mean, hey, you helped me out because I picked the game right.
Yeah,
I really think both these teams win out. I think Louisville wins out, and I think Clemson wins out. Now the question is, are the Cardinals going to get enough respect from the voters to get them into the playoffs. Because I actually really do think they went out.
Well, we got, does Louisville play Houston?
I think they beat Houston by double digits.
Okay.
The way I watched them play and the way they played Clemson, I'm sorry, take no respect from Houston. It's going to be a good ball game, but I've seen some things with Houston to where on the offensive end to where they, I don't know, they just don't look, sometimes they look lost on, you can't be lost. Your game has to be almost perfect against this Louisville defense. This team will, Louisville's defense is probably one of the best they've had in a long time. This team is fast. It runs sideline to sideline. They don't have to send a linebacker for a blitz. Their front line can get the pressure on themselves. Corners are physical and good. I'm telling you, I don't see anybody else. Do not see anybody else beat Louisville.
I think that Clemson did a good job picking on that defense, though. Louisville struggled defensively last night. Last night they struggled defensively.
Well, yeah, but you look at Louisville's schedule. I don't see really. I mean, besides Houston, there's really nobody else. They get the cream puffs of the ACC left. I mean, BC, that's a win. They got Wake Forest, that's a win. I think they still have NC State, that's a win. I mean, they got past the two teams in the ACC that could compete, and they went 1-1 with them. They got to hope that somebody upsets Louisville, or actually two people upsets Clemson, because right now Clemson's got the tiebreaker.
Can I actually state this, and I'm not directly directing this at you, Tommy, but can people give Houston a little credit? And I'm not directing this at you like that, but this is similar to the situation I talked about yesterday about how, what, a decade ago or like 8 years ago, how people looked at Boise State, you know, and people were like, well, Boise State's in that conference, yada, yada, yada. We're not going to give them credit until they finally played Oklahoma and beat them off of that Statue of Liberty play. And then it was like, oh, well, let's pay attention to Boise State. But at that point in time, everybody from Boise State was in the pros, you know what I'm saying, or graduated. So it's like, what does Houston have to do to get that consideration? What if they take this game personally enough to knock off Louisville in November? Like, if that offense, their defense clicks and wins that game, then what? Like, do they still continue to look at four other teams that are better than Louisville, or better than Houston, excuse me, and still squeeze them in? Like that? That's the one thing that frustrates me. And not like I'm directing it at you. It's just a given that a lot of the, you know, the voters, writers, what have you, the committee, let me just say the committee altogether, a position, a lot of these teams in those situations.
I mean, I give them the respect. They're a good ball club. Do I match them up with what I watched yesterday or last night? What I seen, what was it, 2 weeks ago, they beat Florida State up? I mean, of course, that's a whole different story with Florida State. And by the way, Sports City, I told you it, take North Carolina. If you listen to the other two goofballs, I'm sorry. I told you. UNC was going to win that football game. I'm not impressed with those, that up there, that defense up there. But that's enough because this is hate week. I know that.
Goofball. I'm a goofball now? I'm a goofball? Okay. No,
I think
problem.
I was on North Carolina with the points.
That's right, you did. So, okay, the one goofball in them.
Well, all my other picks were bad.
Okay. I'll take it. He's up right now, so I'm a goofball for now, Sports City. He's winning. Matt, how is it going? And then we'll get into some more of these games, too, because there are a lot of games, including that one that Tommy is talking about, because it took a 54-yard bomb field goal for North Carolina to get out of Tallahassee with that win. And
that's amazing.
I'm going to keep it real. Look, I'm going to keep it real, Sports City. Now, I did it because I didn't think North Carolina had enough moxie to slow down Dalvin Cook, which Dalvin Cook had a good game, and that still wasn't enough. And here goes the crazy part, because Tommy was up here. I was talking to Tommy all day, and he's up here telling me North Carolina's doing work. North Carolina's up big. And after, you know, here comes Florida State storming back into the game. I was like, I knew this was the type of game Florida State would play. And just for that kick to get nailed and the kicker doing the tomahawk chop all the way from the 50 all the way down to the end zone, I mean, epic stuff. Epic stuff. Me being the Hurricane fan that I am, I love it. But me being the chef in the city, in Sports City, is like, damn, I picked Florida State, and it makes me look bad. So, like, I'm in a mix of the situation. So, I want to see how you guys feel about that game. I do give you guys credit for pulling North Carolina out of the hat. I really thought Florida State would take care of business after coming away from a big loss within the conference. And now they have two losses within the ACC right now. I'll throw that around and see how you guys feel about that.
All I'm saying is cook. That's all you got. That's all you starting starting the 50 pass. And guess what? You've not playing Al Goldilocks. You've got Mark Rick. I'm starting now because Hate Week's here. Get ready. The seven-game winning streak's over. We're kicking your sorry little asses and sending your asses back up the tally trailer house with another L. Let's go, Kate. It's all week. I've kept my mouth quiet. Cook, 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 cook. It's all you got.
That is the truth. He is literally the Tallahassee superhero. It's like he could put on a Seminole cape and they would have to pay homage. Like, that is it. That is it. And okay, Francois, the quarterback, I mean, him being a freshman, he's a mobile quarterback. It's just something about him. Like, I guess he has to get within the confines of the game to get started, and then they finally started to get things going. But if Dalvin Cook wasn't there, Florida State, they'd probably be a team under 500. I really think that would be the situation. If Dalvin Cook was not there to save himself, they would be in some stuff. Matt, your thoughts on the situation with Florida State falling to North Carolina at home?
Well, it's really hard to follow up, Tommy. That was pretty funny. I'm very happy for North Carolina. They're a team I definitely root for in basketball, and they're trying to develop a football program. I can't believe that a college kicker actually made a 54-yarder. I was shocked when I heard that. I had no idea that it came down to the last second, basically. North Carolina had them early and often, though. They had two touchdown leads multiple times. I guess they almost choked it, but it's really good to see them get a I guess for them, you've got to consider that a signature win. For Florida State, you know, it's a demoralizing loss, and I think there will be a hangover effect for Florida State. I think old Jim Bob Fisher, he might be on the hot seat, fellas.
Nope, he ain't on the hot seat. His ass is gone. I'm telling you, soon as he sees he can't beat Mark Rick, his ass is running out of the trail. He's gone. He'll find somebody else to offer him all kinds of money, SEC team, and he's gone. He can't run this conference no more. You ain't got it. Go ahead and run and leave. Because another former coach from West Virginia did too, Nick Saban.
Wow. It's going down, Sports City. It is going down. Okay, so let me say it like this. Sports City hat, I'm pissed off. I am, because I sure did pick Florida State to get this done. They did not. North Carolina. And another thing, too. Oh, let me just say this. After Tommy just threw all of the Dalvin Cook situation, let me just say this. A scrambling quarterback causes harm to Florida State's defense. Florida State secondary, I don't even know what a better word to say outside of vulnerable would be. They were attacking them. They couldn't stop Switzer at all. Ryan was going crazy on these dudes. They even had their five-star cornerback on Switzer, and Switzer was killing him. So The West Virginia product was giving them all types of hell in the wake of this defeat down there in Tallahassee. But again, we are, 6 days away from the matchup in South Beach. So I'm watching what I say about the Seminoles. I'm trying my best. Karma, leave us alone, please. We got a hell of a game. But I know this, a mobile quarterback and, a good passing assault or receiver core could actually harm Florida State more than they can ever imagine. It's a continual statement game after game. They can be beat brutally. If Dalvin Cook isn't saving them, or if there's a quarterback that can't move, then they have a shot.
The only thing they do offensively, they run cook, and then they'll slip that tight end around for a play action. And that tight end comes around that end, and then Prince Wall hit him. If I'm Diaz, the defense coordinator, I'm stacking the damn box. I'm saying, you're not beating us this year, Cook. You beat us last year. You're not doing it this year.
Hey, where is the game at?
I am making Fresh Wall beat us, throw that football, because I don't think he can do it. I like our corners against their wide receivers. I'm sending pressure, and I'm sending pressure every day. Oh, and by the way, like I said, we don't have Goldilocks coaching this team. So if we go up 14, 15, 21 like we were 2 years ago in Miami, don't think you're going to come back, because it's not happening. You better hope you don't fall down 21 like you did 2 years ago, because Goldilocks isn't on the sidelines.
Okay, I do want to get into some more of these games before we start a couple of the monumental games, if you will, before we do start digging in. Matt, do you have the standings for how everything went down yesterday?
I'm sorry, man. I'm on the road at the moment. From the looks of it, again, I sputtered. It looks like I'm still adding up you and Tommy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to add it all up after I get done what I'm doing, and then I'll post everything in there. I believe that you might have won. Does anybody know who won it? Because I kind of faded out there at the end.
Tommy got it all. Tommy got it all. I had none of my
doubles. That's what I thought. I don't know
how Nacho's situation went with his doubles and triples. I don't know how he did that, but I want to see how that ends up. Say that again.
Yeah. So I know I hit both of my doubles. Notre Dame pulled it out for me, and Oklahoma won.
Yep. Well, guys, I want to give me a one-day birthday pass. I will promise to be sharp for the rest of the season. We ended up getting in the Crown Royale, and Mr. Jack Daniels stopped by. So it got a little rowdy in Atlanta, but any other games you want to talk about? I'm limited. Believe it or not, I'm trying to play a little bit of pickup basketball at 12 noon just to get a little reps before the NFL games. Does anybody want to talk about any of the other college games before we do our NFL picks?
We got to talk about this Georgia-Tennessee. That was crazy finish.
Yeah, let's talk about that one for sure. To you, Tommy, since you brought it up.
I flipped it over because I was actually watching the Florida State game. That ended with the field goal. Actually, Florida State took the lead. I flipped it over. I see Georgia scored with 14 seconds. And I told Ty asked what messaged me, and I said, F Tennessee. And then they got the penalty. See, if the penalty doesn't happen for Georgia, they win this football game.
Right.
They had two finishes back to back. It was like literally I flipped over Carolina won. I was happy. I flipped it back over to the Georgia-Tennessee thinking, well, maybe they'll return it all the way back. And then they turn around, Dobbs throws that ball up. I'm telling you right now, Tennessee loses their next two games. They don't beat A&M. And I don't see them beating Alabama. And they're both in Knoxville. I don't see it. I think they'll win the East. They have they, unless they just fall off the face of the on their face, they win it. Because Florida doesn't look anywhere anything good. Florida, I mean, they've already up on Florida and they're up on Georgia. Florida survived against Vandy.
Oh my God.
I think it's fair to say that Tennessee won the East yesterday. I think it's fair to say that. Ty, I know we were talking about that game early.
Wait, say it again, Matt.
I know we were talking about that game in the early stages. What did you think about how it played out? And also the the only reason why it's controversy is for the Vegas people. Other than that, I guess Tennessee fans were happy. But someone like me who had that look at that 3.5, I mean, do you know how – I actually was screaming, guys, because I thought I won it. And it was a little birthday cash. It was a little bit bigger than I normally, you know, put down. I thought I won it. I started screaming and yelling. And then I realized that they wave off the extra point. And I went from – basically from – cloud 9 to 0.
Well, here's
you know I had money on it, Ty. You know how the emotions that I felt with that.
Here is why I'm not gonna lie. This is why I love sports, because the thrill and the agony. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's gonna happen? So Georgia throws a bomb, scores a touchdown, takes the lead. It's like, okay, and that's what Tommy hit me up. He was like, F Tennessee. I'm like, what happened? So I clicked to the game to see what happened. I seen the bomb. I said, oh, my goodness. They didn't get a this in Sports City, I apologize, but I take this on myself personally. I'm not even trying to be professional. Referees, stop getting involved with the game like this. For real, for real. Even though it's cool to see Tennessee win the game, but stop. These kids can't have fun. You give them an excessive celebration penalty? Really? Really do that to them in the game? It ended up costing them the game, too, at that. They celebrated a touchdown, and it ended up costing them the game on a Hail Mary bomb. Like, Dobbs ended up finishing these dudes. And and this is the crazy part, because I actually watched this happen with Detroit last year against the Green Bay Packers. They put their tallest player in the game and have him in the back of the end zone when he's supposed to be on the, you know, on the goal line to make the play and then take three steps back if it's farther or be right there in the right position to break up the Hail Mary. If you look at the picture, he's behind the whole play. He's not able to make any play on the ball. I blame Georgia for not being prepared right there. Tennessee, I give them a hell of credit right there. And this is their first 5-0 start in over 20 years. Over 20 years, or close to 20 years. I think it's like 96 or 97. I think that's when the last time they've done it. That's the Peyton Manning year. So this is crazy to actually watch Tennessee storm back with that much time. It was 10 seconds on the clock, and they got it done. I can't say much more about it. Hell of a game, Tennessee. Hell of a try, Georgia. But the jury's still out on Georgia, man. They'll fall out of the top 25 now. They will fall out of the top 25.
Hey, guys, to both of y'all, whatever happened to the tip drill, not the tip drill, the knockdown drill. You knock the ball down. What happened to that? Does it not exist anymore?
Nobody was back for Georgia. If you watch the play, Tennessee was their best receiver, the one that caught it, their tall one. He boxed out everybody from Georgia. Even the guy from Georgia, the defensive end, they moved back. What did they say, Ty? 6'8", 6'7"? Wasn't even in the play.
Wow.
Georgia, you know, got boxed out. The dude went up for Tennessee. He jumped and went up way before anybody for Georgia went up. He caught the ball at his highest point. But this is the first time, and this has been a long time, that Tennessee has won in Athens since Matthew Stafford was a freshman at Georgia.
A lot of things happened in this game, man. A lot of stuff was broken. in this game, to say the least. Do we mark Tennessee for real, or do we go with Tommy's team that they will lose their next two games? Matt, I'll come right back to you, then I'll go to one more game and then get into the picking, if you will. Matt, are you still there? We might have lost Matt. Okay. I don't know if he has us on mute. I do want to get into one more game and see how you feel about this. And this was another top 10 battle in the college football atmosphere, with Wisconsin losing to Michigan 14-7. A hell of a defensive battle. I don't even feel comfortable saying this about these two, but Wisconsin is actually one of the top 15 defenses in the nation, and Michigan did enough to just keep their score to a touchdown, and that happened in the third quarter, nothing else. Tommy, your thoughts on Michigan? Are they for real? And how much credit do we give them to actually roll this table?
Michigan's for real. Defensively, offensively, they're not bad. But I'm not taking anything away from Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a pretty good defensive ball club. Offensively, don't really know. Defensively, they're good. It's going to come down to...
Hey, fellas.
It's coming down to Michigan State. Well, actually, you know what? Michigan State's done because they lose to Indiana. I forgot about that until right now. So Michigan State's done. The Big Ten comes down to the end of the November, Ohio State and Michigan. Whoever wins that wins the comp will win the Big 12. Because I'm sorry, whoever comes out on that other side of the Big Ten is not beating those two teams. I mean, it's not going to be Nebraska. It's not going to be Iowa. You're a joke, by the way, Iowa. That other side of the conference, forget about it. It's Michigan, Ohio State. And I'm really hoping I can sit there and watch that football game. I'm hoping there's not another game that interrupts me.
Well, you guys already heard me, a week or two ago? I said I'm going with Big Blue in that matchup. Even though Ohio State is doing work, but it's like the team that they're playing is supposed to beat them. Ohio State is supposed to beat them. And I'm stunned that not only did Rutgers give up 58 points, but they got shut out. Like Rutgers is looking like they are a Division I AA team. Like, they don't look like they're a 1A team right now. Ohio State throttled them. But nevertheless, Ohio State is taking care of business. And a lot of the analysts, people that are speaking on it, are high on Ohio State, stating that they are the best team in college football right now. I think the jury is still out until they start playing stronger teams.
Why did Rutgers leave the Big East or the American, whatever it was, when they left? Because you're not winning in that Big Ten. Why in the world would you leave?
More or less, the only thing I can think of is the more national exposure, knowing that the Big Ten gets a lot of national exposure, being on a lot of these networks that have sporting venues, things of that nature. That's the only thing I can think of with Rutgers leaving the Big East and them not getting too much being in the New Jersey region, you know what I mean, especially being one of those teams that are a bottom feeder, whether they're in the Big Ten as they are now or being in the Big East or any team or any conference that they would respectively be in throughout college football or college sports, period.
I mean, it's literally like they're soaking money up out of the Big Ten. It's like they're getting paid to get their ass kicked.
That's to say the least. They almost gave up 60. I might as well say that 60. 58 is damn near 60. They gave up 60. Like, come on. And y'all couldn't score? Like, y'all couldn't score at all? Like, that's not even funny no more. It's like, what the hell is going on? I think some heads need to roll for people to get the point. Anything left? Any other game that you would like to get to, college football wise, that we have not covered?
Duke, I'm not giving you any more respect. You can't beat Virginia after beat Notre Dame and some of them other teams. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, Duke. I'm done with you. You're a joke. That's all I got to say. That's a joke.
I hear you in a whole bunch of agony, Matt. Is there things that you would like to say about that matchup?
Well, if you guys remember correctly, I was on Virginia originally, and then my girlfriend, being an older Russian lady who it's her first year of knowing football, why did I listen to her on changing my pick? I'll never know. I'm trying to load up these spreads. Come right back. I'll be right back, guys.
Okay, no problem.
Virtually, that lost to Richmond. I don't understand it. That Coastal has two teams, possibly three with Virginia Tech, but it's Miami, North Carolina, and Virginia Tech. The rest of that Coastal is a joke.
This is the one thing that I thought would end up happening with Duke. I thought Duke would play one of those ball control type of games, run the ball as much as they possibly can, and take care of business. This being not the game that I expected to end up panning out, it was 34-20. They ended up losing by two touchdowns, having a big second quarter given up by Duke, especially being at home. With them being at home, Virginia traveling, Duke playing well throughout the past two or three seasons at home, it did not look like that. And now they are winless still in the conference. And Virginia gets their first win in the ACC too. So I don't know how much I can say. I can tip my hat. I do give credit to Virginia to go on the road and get this win up against Duke. I can't say that they stole it because they won by two possessions. It was a double-digit win. But I can't say that they stole this game. But I do give a ton of credit to what Virginia was able to do to Duke in Raleigh.
Matt, are
you ready?
Like Duke just showed up. Yes. Wait, say it
again, Tommy. Sorry.
I said it's like Duke just showed up and thought they could win because they went to South Bend and got a victory. That's horrible. Just plain out horrible.
Okay, Matt.
Yeah,
that game.
Sorry, I had to take another call real quick, but I'm good to go through to probably 12:30 anyway. So we can take our time on the NFL picks. But yeah, that Duke game just brutalized my birthday early on. But what can you do? It was a sucker line. They made it so low, and you know Virginia wasn't supposed to. I really think the Duke quarterback was in the tank. He was the big problem, throwing picks and getting sacked in the end zone and fumbling. I mean, it just I wish I could forget that game, but you know, hopefully I will one day. But today I'm definitely thinking about it. I'm kind of sour about it.
Mark my words, right now, October 2nd, people watch. Duke still have a surprise win under their belt. Watch. I guarantee it. They're going to beat a team that they're not supposed to when everybody's counting them out because of what happened here up against Virginia. This is a very big loss for them, especially with them being at home. A lot of people are going to count them out. They are still going to end up having a big game this season. Watch. And I'm hoping it's not us. I'm hoping, especially after what happened to them last year in Raleigh with Miami. So, believe me, I know that they'll come in that game as revved up as much as possible, but I call that game the lateral. That's all I call that game. And a lot of people are still mad and saying that it shouldn't have counted, so on and so forth. I still remember screaming my face off saying history. I still remember it. But why do have one of those games? And I'm hoping that it's not us, but we'll see. We'll see. I am trying to pull up their schedule as it is as of now. But we'll see how that does pan out. Now that he has time, I mean, is there another game that you guys would like to touch that we have missed? Tommy, if there is another one that you would like to go over?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. Unless you want to get into
I got one. No. Well, we kind of briefly touched on Ohio State and Rutgers, how they took care of Rutgers. But I do have – Hold on. I do have a game that we should be touching here in Sport City. You know, I got to do this. They're the Ramley Wreck of Georgia Tech. What happened? You didn't want to talk about that game. We're on air right now. I'm going against – and this is what he said, Sports City, at the tailgate. I'm going against both of y'all. Y'all going to be with the U. He asked me the question. He said, Ty, who you going with? I said, his mother played in the movie Friday. Bye, Felicia. I could feel it in my bones. And the crazy part about this is – and I want to give credit to one of my co-hosts here at the Brunch, Tommy Beard. I got to give him credit because before the season started, I'm worried about it, and I'm not going to lie. I'm worried about our linebacker play. I'm still worried about it, still. That was our first test of this season. This game against Georgia Tech was our first test, and they did exceptional. I won't say great. They did just enough to corral Georgia Tech in that triple option. And the one thing that actually made me feel great was scoring two defensive touchdowns in three plays. Like, that was so great watching them pick up fumble after fumble. I was like, they came to play. The linebackers came to play, scored touchdowns in three plays. That was awesome stuff. But Georgia Tech was still able to move the ball until about the third or fourth quarter once they got behind the eight ball and they were forced to pass. And this is the problem that I have with Georgia Tech. I'm sorry, Sports City, I'm going to do it like this, but I have to say this. I don't think that coaches should run that triple option and still not have the availability to pass the ball. When Georgia Tech started passing the ball, it was like you knew they were going to pass the ball. We're playing on our toes now, and they're forcing a pass issue and ended up getting picked off late. They're not a passing team at all. And this is the one thing that bothered me about Miami. You know they are barely going to throw the ball. Like, some of these corners already have their eyes in the backfield to make the play. Like what? They had to stay home because he did make a couple of throws downfield. But I do give Miami a ton of credit in this one. I had to. Matt tried to dodge this bullet. But you are not getting out of this one, Mr. Atlanta. You're not.
Go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, go ahead. No, you can go. I'm sorry. No, I'll let you go.
I didn't want to cut.
You go first. You want it like that, that's how you're going to get it. You're going to get your list exactly how you want it. So you go first, Tommy goes after you.
Well, the only thing I can say is I'm blessed I didn't put one single dollar on those bums from Georgia Tech. I knew you guys had an insight on the game. I wasn't going to issue. I had to do it for the pick's sake, but we do the pick sometimes with our heart. But the only thing I can kind of lean on is the fact the Tech offense kind of woke up, I believe. I didn't get to watch – I didn't see any of the game because I was so wrapped up in that Duke game and it just, sucked all my blood out of me. Were the Tech offense catching some breaks from Miami Mid? I don't really know how Tech got all those points. I was curious. I need to go back and look at some tape on that.
The running game is what scored for you guys. It damn sure wasn't the passing game. What's his name? Dedrick Mills was the one that was killing us in that option. He basically was 100 yards rushing. He had 99 yards running, but two of the scores were off of him. So he was the one that was getting the job done in that triple option. But once they started to sniff that out, Miami started to make plays. And this is the one thing that I think Miami's probably sitting on it. I'm hoping for it. I really think that they're hoping for it. But once Miami started to pass the ball, Georgia Tech was clueless. They couldn't stop Miami's passing attack at all, no matter where he wanted to go. Kyle was killing them in the passing game. But I guess they wanted to have that balance and force the issue. Yerby and Walton getting it done. Walton finally not having a 100-yard day, but they didn't need it to get it done. Tommy, I'll let you clean this one up.
Well, this game pretty much played out the way it was. The only thing about this I did not like And I'm not blaming Rake. I'm going to say, I'm not even going to blame Coach Diaz because he's never coached against the triple option. I said it the whole game. We bitched and yelled about this the last 5 years. We had them idiots on the sideline coaching before. Why are the linebackers so far back? Because Georgia Tech literally was killing us on the outside. We couldn't stop it. We had some plays here and there. But, I mean, if you watch the Clemson game, they had everybody up on the line. They didn't give up the outside. We were giving them 4 or 5 yards back. I mean, they were getting 4 or 5 yards when they wanted it. I don't understand that. Maybe he'll learn. Maybe next year he'll move the linebackers up. And Ty, I told you about these freshman linebackers. I'm telling you, they are true freshmen. True freshmen. And they are as good as they were taught. I'm literally still suspect about this offensive line because Georgia Tech did get pressure at times on us. They did stop the running game at times. It just seems like the offensive line's not. But I'll say this. I do think because Mark Rick is the coordinator, he calls the plays. I still think he ran everything still vanilla. He doesn't want to show his hand yet. I think, Nick, I've seen a lot of people posting why we don't do this, why we don't. I'm telling you, you're going to see a whole different offense on Saturday, I think. I think he is going to open it up. Just my opinion.
Matt, is there anything that you would like to say in reference to what we just covered, or do we get away from it?
I appreciate y'all filling me in exactly how Tech mustered up that many points. I guess they were gashing them a little bit. But still, what a suspect defense. And if they don't fire that defensive coordinator, then, of course, they need to fire Paul Johnson too, but they need to fire the whole staff. We need a new identity.
Okay, I'm going to say this before we get away from college, unless you guys have another college game, even though Tommy did hit on one before. Michigan State in an overtime game loses to Indiana. Indiana fighting their way back to getting to that game. I definitely I feel bad Michigan State saying this because, like I said, I am a D'Antonio fan. He's a good coach. I think they might fall out of the top 25. I think this loss to Indiana right here, even though, Indiana had a 2-1 record going into this game, Michigan State losing last week and losing this week, I think they fall out in the top 25. I'm tired of, and this is one thing that Tommy was hitting on too as well with the Big 12. Baylor, you needed that big fourth quarter to win that game up against Iowa State. Against Iowa State, like, you guys were sweating. You're lucky that Linwood had a 200-yard day to save your tail, or you guys would be in trouble falling in the top 25. You guys survived the scare out there in, Ames, Iowa. Like, Iowa State should have won that game. I don't know how all of a sudden that defense fell asleep in the fourth quarter. But Baylor, the jury's out on you guys. I think they can be attacked also. But everything else across the board, I think we have covered. Alabama played Kentucky. I don't think we need to talk about that. We touched on Ohio State damn near putting up 60, or you could say 58-60 on Rutgers. Texas A&M doing their thing, remaining unbeaten up against South Carolina. With Muschamp going up to hit South Carolina, I don't even think that helped. He brought that same mystique from Florida with him to South Carolina. But, man, I could talk about him for hours. I really can. I don't
Muschamp
know if he hang up to that.
Coordinator and nothing else.
Right.
Oh, what happened in this game?
It was a 24-13 game, and late in this game, Texas A&M finally pulled away from them. But with them not able to really corral this situation, I really think South Carolina will end up finishing at the bottom of the SEC, similar to like a Kentucky or Vanderbilt. I don't think he's changed much from what he brought from Florida. So that's one thing that I'm looking at. I mean, Tommy, have you seen something different with South Carolina, if you're giving them a little more leeway than I am, please do so.
No, I just think Muschamp's better as a D coordinator. He's not a head coach. And some people are just better coordinators than head coach. And he's one of them.
Okay, so I guess we'll dive into these games. We got 30 minutes left. To call the numbers 917-889-9592. We did pick this game off air, Sports City, so these guys actually were already addressing me. Ty, come up with a pick. So the game that's taking place right now in London, the Colts are visiting the Jacksonville Jaguars. The score is now 23-13. I guess I'll let them get their picks out, and then we'll go from there.
All right, fellas.
Go ahead, Matt.
Sorry, Tom.
Go ahead, Matt.
I wasn't sure, Ty. Did you pick the Colts as well? Just for record keeping.
No, I did not.
Wow, you went with the Jacksonville. Okay, we got the Cleveland Clowns against the Washington Deadskins. The Deadskins are favored by 7.5. You know I got to ride my Cleveland boys. And I want you guys to throw a score out just because the NFL is a little bit more precise. I'm going to say Cleveland wins the game 24-23. So we'll go to Ty for the second.
I'm going with the Redskins to win this game. But the Browns cover. This is crazy. I think this is going to be a 27-24 type of game. But the Browns cover, the Redskins win. But I think especially with Josh Norman, and this is the crazy part about it all. Josh Norman is calling out Terrell Pryor, and Terrell Pryor actually fed back into it, talking junk to him. So this is a matchup we will be watching. But I don't know if Norman could defend. Like he said, I'm 6'5", 230. There's nothing for me to be scared of. So this is the matchup I will be watching. I do like that one. But I say the Redskins win. I think the Browns cover.
All right, Tommy, what you got?
Oh, Jesus. Do I go for the sorry skins or do I go with my family? You know what, hell. I'm going with Mama Duke. If you don't know who that is, you might want to look her up. I'm going with Cleveland to get their first win. Say 17-10.
Wow.
Don't disappoint me, Mama.
It ain't her fault.
Wow. Me and Tommy are against the world today in that one. I mean, we are literally, no one is picking Cleveland to win. Let's see.
I'll probably get it wrong.
Well, hey, I like your spirit, Tommy. Okay, we got the Buffalo Bengals against the New England Tea Parties. We got the Tea Parties at -3.5. We'll start with Ty. Give me a score on that one in New England Buffalo.
Oh boy, I like how they did this too. New England is given 3.5, and Brissett is starting. I think this is going to be a defensive battle because there's something fishy about this over-under at 41. I'm going to go with the Bills to win this game. I think Buffalo wins this game. The Patriots gig is up. I think it's up. I think Buffalo wins this game, and the score will be 21-17. I'll go 21-17 Buffalo.
All right, I got to stick with the New England Tea Parties. I like New England to win 27-20, so I think they're going to cover that 3.5. Tommy, what do you think?
Well, part of me wants to go with Ty and get say Buffalo because something's fishy. Something's fishy. You really, something tells me the NFL's got something playing. They really don't want New England to go for 4-0 with Brady coming back next week.
Right.
But I got to catch up with Ty, too. I'll go New England 31 17.
All right. We got the we got Peter the Cheater for Seattle against the New York Jets. The line right now is Seattle by one. We'll go right back to Tommy. What do you like in that one?
Which one?
Seattle, New York Jets.
Well, give me Seattle. Fish transfer will throw another 8 interceptions.
And what's your score on that one?
See, it's in New Jersey.
Right.
Go. It's going to be a low-scoring game. Go 17-3.
Three.
All right.
Woo.
Ty, what do you think?
I'm going with Game Green. Upset of the day. Jesus, I don't know what the score would be. And I feel bad because I just looked at this stat and I was disgusted. And I feel bad that I'm going with the Jets right now. Fitzpatrick has already thrown close to 10 interceptions on the season. Right now, Fitzpatrick is almost close to 10 interceptions on the season. I'm going to go with the Jets 24-10, and here's why. C.J. Spiller is there. Everything has to be simplified for C.J. Spiller, and the Jets' defense cannot be slept on. They are 1-2 team right now, but I think that their run defense gets it, especially with the injury to Russell Wilson, him coming out there hobbled. I think this is something that they are going to have to be concerned with. I'm going with Gang Green at home.
All right, I'm going to stick with Tommy's pick. I like Seattle. I'm going to say Seattle 17-9. Let's see what the next game is. We got the Carolina Parasites against the Atlanta Fakers. What do you guys think about Cam the Scam? Is he going to show up today? We'll start with myself because I'm right here. I'm going with Atlanta. I'm going with the Falcons outright, 28-27. We'll come right back to Ty. What do you like, Ty?
Oh, man.
Cam
is back in College Park, but I don't know if he gets it done. This is a very interesting game, man. This is very interesting. I need the Panthers defense to wake up because they're my fantasy defense. And they score points. It's just that they give up points. This is crazy. But the Falcons offense is finally clicking. I'm going with Carolina on the road to get it done. Score 24-21. This is a barn burner. Not a barn burner, but this is a nail biter. I'm saying that wrong. 24-21. I think this is a nail biter. I keep saying barn burner. I don't want to say barn burner. But I think the Falcons get to 500, the Panthers get to 500, just to make things interesting in the NFC South. I think they both are sitting at 500 at the end of this game.
All right, Tommy, you got Cam the Scam or the Atlanta Fakers?
You're going Cam. Going Panthers. The Falcons are playing a no defense like New Orleans. Score, let's see here. Go 24-17.
All right, that's a fair score. Okay, this will be. We'll start with Ty. This 100% Ty starts this one. We got the Detroit Lions -3 against the city of organized crime, Chicago. Do you go with your Lions on the road and my boy Matty Stafford, or are you sticking with the Bears?
Sticking with the Bears. Wait, when did I ever stick with the Bears? Wait, hold on.
I misphrased that.
Wow, I'm a Bears
you
fan. Who did they play last week? I picked them last week.
I know, but I think back in 2005, you might have picked them once or something.
Oh, 2005. Okay, you knew me then. Okay, so here we go. This is tough for me because I've actually watched the line fall. I've seen some get this at -1. This puzzles me, but I got to go with my boys. I feel Detroit can't get it done, even though we're missing two big pieces of our defense. I think the Lions can get this done. Score? Jeez. 31-24. I'll go 31-24 Detroit.
All right, we'll go to your fellow Miami U fan, Tommy. What you got?
Give me the Lions. And this is good. I think Lions win big. I say 38-10.
Carver, please leave me alone. Please don't come find me, Carver, please.
Guys, drum roll, please. I'm going with the consensus pick. I'm staying on Detroit. I like Detroit 29-13 over the city of organized crime, Chicago. Okay, we got the Tennessee City Titans and the Houston Oilers. No, I'm sorry, the Texans. Texans are favored by 3.5 at home. Let's go right back to Tommy. Tommy, what do you think about the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans?
Oh, God, I was hoping somehow, some way we'd forget about this game. Because I have no clue how to go. No J.J. Watt. Looks like Jay's out for the season. Give me Tennessee. I don't know. Four now.
You just throw one out.
No, you know what? Go 24-22.
All right. I'll go second. I'll actually ride Tennessee with the outright win as well. I'll say Tennessee 20-17. Ty, we make a consensus, or do you think Houston gets it done today?
This is so scary. But I am going consensus. The reason why I say it's scary, one of my friends woke me up. He told me to realize that DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the NFL. And I agree. I agree. I finally agree. It's not Antonio Brown. It's not Odell Beckham. It's DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre's getting it done with any quarterback, people. Whoever is under center, he's comfortable to make plays. He's comfortable. I feel some type of way because they're at home. They're giving the points to Tennessee. But no J.J. Watt, no Brian Cushing. They leave a lot of this to Jadeveon Clowney and Will Fork to close stuff up front. I think Tennessee challenges that. I think things get going for Mariota and company. I'm going with Tennessee. I think this game will be the score, though. This will be a 31-27 type. No, I got to give it this. So 31-24 type of game, Titans. 31-24 Titans.
All right. We got the Oakland Radicals headed to Baltimore today. They're favoring Baltimore by 3.5. Let's come right back to you, Ty. Are you going to ride Tommy's Ravens, or do you think Derek Carr found Jehovah and he's going to bring the Raiders to the win?
This game is very, 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 very tough. Here's why. The Raiders' passing attack could give the Ravens trouble, but if the Raiders do try to force the run, I think the Ravens could actually take this game away from the Raiders. This is very tough. This is a very tough game. Jesus Christ.
We can come back to you. We can go to Tommy's since that's his team.
No, I need to make a decision. I can't be scared of this.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Baltimore. I'll go with Baltimore at home. Oakland coming across the country. I think this would be too much. Score will be 27-21. I'll go 27-21. I'll go with Baltimore.
All right, Tommy. Let us hear it about your boys.
This scares me. They're passing. This game tells us everything we need to know about how good our defense really is, especially our secondary. I'm not worried about the running game. We pretty much shut that down. Doomerville will be back. Well, how much Doomerville plays is a question because of how healthy he is. I really think this is a shootout. I really do because Oakland's defense isn't really – they have holes. I think Baltimore wins it, and I think this is a shootout. I say 45-42.
Whoa, wow. Wow.
That
means
wow.
I gotta start Derek Carr. I was gonna sit Derek Carr. I'm about to start.
Tommy knows something about this one. Well, I was going with the Radicals. I can't go as high as the score, but I think Derek Carr, you know, he's got Jesus on his side. So I'm taking the Oakland Radicals. They're going to win the game 27-24 on a last-second field goal.
And I got to get the Buffalo Wild Wings, too, because I got to watch this game. Because me being in the D.C. area, being in Virginia, it's we get the sorry Deadskins and the Brownies.
The Cleveland Clowns, as some people call them. Let's see. We got the Denver Burritos going to against the Tampa Bay Food Stealers. Denver is favored by 3.5 on the road. Well, we could make this real quick if y'all want. You guys all took Denver last week. I was on the wrong side. Well, I'm not foolish this time. I'm going with Denver in that one. Does anybody else want to take Winston? Otherwise, I'm just going to mark Denver. We can make that one quick.
Give me Denver. I'm not ever taking Tampa again to hell with Winston, especially this week.
My score is 30-13.
I'm going Tampa Bay. I'm going
guys,
Tampa
give me,
Bay.
Give me scores on that one. I forgot about the scores. Give me. I got Denver 30-13. Ty, what do you think Tampa's going to win by?
Tampa wins by a touchdown. 27-20. Listen,
okay.
Vegas is
up to no good.
Let me tell you
about
Vegas.
The last stadium right now.
Say that again.
Players are pushing coaches. Coaches are pushing players and everything in Gillette Stadium right now. Buffalo's not playing.
Wow.
Just showed on the NFL Network.
Tommy, what's your score for the Denver beatdown today when they smack Winston around?
30-10.
I'm going to tell you all this, too. Winston throws a pick six. I'd almost be willing to put a little bit on that. I bet he throws a pick six today. Let's see. You got the Dallas Cowgirls.
No Vegas is up to no good. It's minus
you
three
might
for Denver.
Be right, Ryan.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You might be right. But, okay, we got the Dallas Cowgirls, one of the best-looking teams in professional football. They're just incredible. They're coming out here minus one only in San Francisco. I'm going to come right back to you, Ty, because if you're calling the Tampa Bay game a trap, does this not smell like a trap to you?
It does. It does. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
1 point? 1 point?
One
Are you
point.
Kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm going with the Cowboys. I got to. I think Dak is different. As much as this scares me with one, it's basically a pick 'em. They're trying to set people up real bad. Jesus, it's Christmas. The score, Cowboys 31, the Niners 27. I think this gets interesting, though. But Blaine Gabbert is involved in this. Oh, my God. 31-27 Cowboys.
I'll shoot it over to you, Tommy. What do you think?
Oh, man. This is a point and a half. 1.5 for Dallas. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we can make it 1.5. That's fine.
Oh, my God.
Tough game.
Here I go again. Do I go with my Kane fam? Ray Armstrong. I mean, San Francisco looked good in week one. Defensively, ain't looked good since. Give me Dallas, but I'm not comfortable with it. I'll say 20-17.
Is Dez playing? Wait, hold on. Is Dez playing? Yes or no?
I haven't heard. It's the what is that? A 425. So the inactives don't have to be until I think 2, 3, something. until like 2:15 or so.
Wow. I got to start somebody else, man. I got to do it, man. Damn. Okay, well, go ahead. Matt, who do you like in this game, Cowboys or Niners, Matt? Matt, are you still there? Do we still have Matt here? Okay, he might have gone mute or we might have lost him. The next game we have is the Saints and the Chargers. Drew Brees returns home back to San Diego for the first time since he's gotten traded. The Chargers are given 4 at home. Who do you like, Tommy?
Oh, boy. Two teams that don't know how to win this year. You know what? I'll go with the wife's team. I normally don't pick San Diego, but I don't like New Orleans defense at all after what I watched some of Monday night. Give me the Chargers.
Hey, guys, sorry about that.
I want the Chargers. Score 37-30.
37-30?
Yeah.
Okay, Matt, who do you like in the did you give up the last one with the Cowboys?
No,
and
I apologize, guys. I had a technical difficulty. I am picking the upset, and the other one, San Francisco, 20-7. And then in the one we just talked about, I got to go with my cousin Breeze. He's going to have a huge day. Cousin Breeze wins 41-35 in San Diego against the counterfeit Chargers.
41-35. I'm going with Phillip Rivers. Big wheels keep on turning. Brown better keep on burning. I'm rolling on a river. And they got to win by 5. 31-24. Chargers 31-24.
All right, so you guys like the L.A. Rams or the Arizona Cardinals? The line's up to 10. This is a must-win for Arizona. We'll come right back to Tommy. What do you think, Tommy?
In Arizona? Give me Arizona. They show up and play on at home. Let's see. They got to win by 10. It doesn't matter. They're playing the Rams. Mr. No Deep, no offense. So avid defense. You see, the Cardinals win 27-10.
All right, Ty, go ahead.
You went with me? You sent me? Okay. I'm going with the Cardinals in the toaster. This is crazy because that line is extreme, but the last game that they played at home, they beat the crap out of Tampa Bay 40-7, and this is tough for me because the Rams actually are looking good. The Rams are surprisingly looking good. I think that the Cardinals win this game, but the Rams cover. I think this score will be, 21-17. It's that type of game, 24. I do 24-17. I think the Rams cover.
I am going to go with the L.A. Rams to cover the point spread. I do think it's a little bit much to ask them to win on the road like they did last week. I'm going to take Arizona 30 and the Rams 24. That brings us to Sunday Night Football. We get the Kansas City Chiefs heading to Pittsburgh tonight. Let's make it 3.5 because most of the minus threes are juiced up. I'll start out. I'm picking out the outside upset here, or outright upset. I apologize. Kansas City wins the game 27-20. Let's go right back to you, Ty. What do you think about that game?
I'm going with Roethlisberger. The way that they lost last week to Philadelphia, if they don't come out guns a-blazing, they should start questioning what's going on in Pittsburgh and also Mike Tomlin. You better start answering questions. I'm tired of him looking at a camera and just having the right answer. you better start giving the right answers on what's going on, especially being at home and getting throttled by a rookie quarterback, no less. You lose to a rookie quarterback and Alex Smith, there is some stuff that needs to be figured out in Pittsburgh. I'm going with the Steelers 31-20.
All right, Tommy, you're going to ride Ben Roethlisberger, or do you think Kansas City poses a threat?
Give me Pittsburgh. I just, it's at home. If it was in Kansas City, I may ride with Kansas City. They got to go to Pittsburgh and play in that god-awful stadium, so give me them. Oh, boy. This is going to be a defensive battle, I think. I'll go 17-10. And Allen Hurns just scored a touchdown for the Jags.
Yeah. Well, that puts a nail in my my real money coffin, but that's all right, guys. Well, we did pretty good. We got all the picks in. Does anybody want to bring up anything on the last day of baseball? It is the last game ever in Turner Field history for the Atlanta Braves. They will no longer be playing inside the perimeter. They'll be moving outside the perimeter next year about 15 miles to Cobb County.
You guys came up with a big win yesterday against the Tigers, right?
Well, considering the Tigers needed the game, I think it dashed their playoff hopes. Yeah,
right.
I think it was a big – to be a spoiler, from a spoiler's perspective, it was a nice win. I'm sure the Braves may try to go out winners today. We'll see.
Yeah, that was huge. That hurt the Tigers a lot. Now the Tigers need help to try and make it into that wild card. That was big. So they gave y'all guys a momentum win heading into next season.
Right.
Tommy, anything else that you would like to address? I know Tommy will have a lot more to talk about. His team is still surviving, playing postseason ball, so he'll have more to talk about, unless you want to say something before we get in the closeout.
I have nothing to say about them sorry-ass Braves. Nothing.
Well, they are pretty bad, but
they have PR bitches.
He is just so tough. Okay. We need plugs, close out, anything that guys would like to promote as we shut it down. I know Matt is on the run right now. As you can hear the wind whistling. Matt, give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the Brunch.
Appreciate it, guys. I think I'm going to hit some meetings this week, maybe an AA meeting, a GA meeting, and maybe anger management for all the picks that I had. But
wait. Hold on, Sports City. I gotta give him a happy birthday shout out. Happy birthday to Matthew.
Oh yeah.
That's why he's all torn apart. As you can hear him, he's so sluggish right now.
I'm sluggish today. I'm slowed by the liquor. You know what? Even though I didn't do too good at the we'll just call them the tables, but you know what I'm talking about. You guys know what I'm talking
right.
about. I didn't do too good at the tables, but I have my health. I'm 34. So far, not too many problems. I'm blessed beyond belief. I have a wonderful girlfriend. Everybody wished me happy birthday on Facebook. I guess I should be happy and just count my blessings. Every day's a blessing. And, you know, thank you, God, for allowing me to be on this earth. Thank y'all for letting me talk to y'all. I'm sorry I wasn't sharp today, but I will pick it back up. You know, I'll be sharp the rest of the time. A little birthday pass this week. But thank y'all for having me today, and have a great Sunday.
All right, Tommy, you already know what to do. Shut it down here at the Brunch.
Yeah. Good show. I'm glad I hit both of my doubles yesterday. There will be more shit talking. I'm sorry, criminals up here at Trail of Tassie. Thank you for everything you've done, David Ortiz. And also, we also have Vince Scully, the longtime announcer for the Los Angeles Dodgers, retiring after this game today. He will no longer be doing any. Last I heard, he wasn't doing any postseason games. Thank you for everything you've done, Vince Scully, too. You'll be wellly missed. The only time I ever watched the Dodgers is when he got MLB showed him doing the live feed from him. He was amazing. He did it by himself. He didn't need anybody else beside of him. He did everything by himself. Thank you for everything you've both done for the game of baseball.
437.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow with the Monday Night Sports Wrap-Up, digging into the picks that we went over today and also to see how things pan out for the Monday night game. That Monday night game will be a hell of a game, at least to me. I think the Giants and the Vikings, that is one of those get-your-popcorn-ready type of games. Hopefully, I don't see how it can be done, but hopefully the Giants are going in and steal a game. Hopefully they can do it to calm these Vikings down. I don't know if this could happen. I see that Matt wanted to put doubles in. See, now, and we just missed that. So we can do that quickly. I'll extend it another 5 minutes. They give it us another five. Your sure picks, Matt, go ahead, birthday boy, before we get out of here. I do have a call.
I just sent them to you on the Faker book. I'm going to put Kansas City and Denver, two old rivals, as my double. So Kansas City plus the points, and Denver's minus is my doubles.
Okay, Tommy, your two double picks?
Give me the Lions, can't go common sense pick here. Let me see. I got to pick another one that could be a toss-up. Lions and Seattle. I don't see any that's...
My two, I'm going to go with Killer Cam, and I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I'll go with the Panthers and the Cowboys. Caller from the 609, you're going to have to call in tomorrow. I won't be able to get to you right now, especially the way the callers have been calling in late and trying to do stuff. Call into tomorrow's show. We'll see if we try to get you in here. SportsCityShows.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, and stuff. We'll be back here tomorrow, Monday night, sport wrapping things up. Hopefully your boy goes 100%. I don't want to lose any picks. I feel so terrible about how things went down. Hopefully Matt can give us the score tomorrow on how things went down. But Tommy kicked butt yesterday and was letting me know every time the game went his way, he was letting me know. So he was making me feel badder and badder. I was about to call myself Michael Jackson, how bad I felt. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Oh. Welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City chef with Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
Kick back, relax, enjoy this, everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts,